Session 12 of Horse Biz Bootcamp. I'm going to go all soft skills on you right now and talk about a topic that relates to some concepts that are really popular right now, both in the general population and in our sport. This is, of course, Jen Verheeren from Cadence Coaching. Emotional resilience is not a topic that you might expect to have in a business course, but it's one that so many of the horse professionals I know struggle with and have found really valuable to discuss. What allows us to keep on keeping on in the face of very difficult emotions? What gives us grit and stamina to forge forward even when we feel afraid or vulnerable or angry? What allows us to keep riding or teaching or going to work even when tragedy strikes? What keeps you from giving up when everything seems to be going wrong? This is, again, an area where I find horsepreneurs have common challenges. We not only deal with the same frustrations, obstacles, and hardships that regular business owners do, but we also deal with the unpredictability of a life with horses. One thing that for sure keeps us going is passion. Horse people are some of the most passionate, resilient people I know. And there are ways to learn to manage your emotions so that you become even more able to handle tough situations with grace and keep going in the face of hardship. Emotional resilience is not something that you have or you don't. It's a way of being that you learn and cultivate. Take a look at the stages of energy chart that's in your training notebook. This is modified from David Hawkins' book, Power Versus Force. I don't recommend reading it. It's really dense. But he's got some fantastic ideas in there that I have found really useful. Each emotion listed on the stages of energy chart is associated with a particular energy level. If you look at the chart, you'll recognize them. You can see that the higher you go up the chart, the more desired the emotion and the higher the energy value it has. When you're in the lower level emotions like shame and guilt and apathy and fear, you basically have a diminished coping capacity. You're more self-focused and less able to connect with other people. You struggle to get important things done, and your experiences are colored by your emotional state. When you have a horse business, for every horse you deal with, you have to deal with at least one person. You have to manage sometimes really challenging personalities, both human and equine. You have to juggle tons of responsibilities and be professional and supportive in the face of all kinds of mayhem. So, you want to get really good at moving up and down the energy chart so that you don't get stuck in the lower energy states and can keep your business running smoothly and continue to enjoy it. So the emotions listed on the chart are all really, truly emotions. They're not stories. Okay, they're all real emotions. Disappointment, regret, frustration, and overwhelm are all examples of stories that we often think are emotions. These are all really about our attachment to a story about something that's happened to us that's causing an emotional state. They're not the emotion itself. So one of the most important steps to take to shift from a lower to a higher emotional state is to identify the emotion you're actually feeling. You can look at the stages of energy chart and pinpoint where you are at any given time. The bottom of the chart starts with shame, and as you go up the chart, you move up through the emotions of hopelessness, fear, anger, pride, courage, neutrality, willingness, acceptance, reason, and on up to joy, peace. And then at the very top, enlightenment. One of the most important things about looking at the energy chart is to realize that as human beings, we're constantly moving up and down that chart. All of us have sort of an emotional set point that we tend to migrate back to. And this is the place where we tend to hover and continually find ourselves sometimes stuck in. So if your emotional set point is right around 100, you might have moments of courage or joy, but you'll tend to migrate back to fear a lot of the time. If your emotional set point is around 400 or 500, you may experience moments of grief or shame, but you'll tend to migrate back up to fear or I'm sorry, back up to joy and love. Your emotional set point may have been established when you were very young, or it might have developed as a result of experiences that you've had throughout your lifetime. You can change your emotional set point. You can also learn to move up and down the chart easily without getting stuck at a particular energy level. In my view, this is what emotional resilience is all about. It's about being able to feel what you feel and let it move through your body so you can shift into another emotional state. Most of us learn at a really early age to stifle or stuff or deny our emotions. We're taught that emotions occur in our heads and that we should be able to control them. As we strive to do that, we actually prevent our emotions from being able to move and they get stuck in our bodies. So that's why you can have an experience that can seem to trigger an emotional reaction that is way out of proportion to what actually occurred. I work with riders all the time who feel that their fear reactions are far stronger than is warranted by the situations that trigger them. This is because they never processed the fear that occurred from an original traumatic event, like a fall. And they've been fighting the fear and trying to pretend it's not there for so long that it's actually become magnified and gotten worse. Some of our conventional buck-up methods for dealing with fear actually do make it worse. The more we try to minimize and control our emotions, the more they take root in our bodies and they refuse to let go. I use a bunch of exercises with my students and clients that can help them get really good at processing emotions. And this is beyond the scope of this program, but I'm including the basic concepts here because as business owners, and for some of you as instructors, it's really important that you not get derailed or stuck in destructive emotional patterns. The word emotion means to move. The word emotion means to move. So the goal here is to get as good as our horses are at moving it. The goal is to get as good as our horses are at moving emotion. Horses, babies, and dogs are so good at this. They feel what they feel for a little while, and then they're on to the next thing. When you have a disappointing result at a show or a difficult conversation with a client, you want to feel what you feel and then move on to an emotional state in which you can be most effective in handling and moving on from that experience. I'm going to read a short excerpt from Power Versus Force that I think is such a great description of how our emotions impact our perspective. As I read this, follow along on the energy chart and see if you can identify with what I'm saying. You can probably recognize the emotional set points of different individuals you know based on this description. Let's attempt to better understand all of this through a concrete example. Imagine a bum on a street corner. In an upscale neighborhood stands an old man in tattered clothes, alone, and leaning against the corner of an elegant brownstone. Look at him from the perspective of various levels of consciousness and note the differences in how he appears to different people and viewpoints. From the bottom of the scale, at a level of 20 or shame, the bum is seen to be dirty, disgusting, and disgraceful. From level 30, guilt, he'd be blamed for his condition. He deserves what he gets. He's probably a lazy welfare cheat. At 50, hopelessness, his plight would appear desperate, a damning piece of evidence to prove that society can't do anything about homelessness. At 75, grief, the old man looks tragic, friendless, and forlorn. At a consciousness level of 100 or fear, we might say the bum is threatening, a social menace. Perhaps we should call the police before he commits a crime. At 125, desire, he might represent a frustrating problem. Why doesn't somebody do something? At 150, anger, the old man might look like he could be violent, or on the other hand, one could be furious that such horrible conditions exist in our country today. At 175, pride, he could be seen as an embarrassment or as lacking the self-respect to better himself. At 200, courage, we might be motivated to wonder if there's a local homeless shelter. All he needs is a job and a place to live. At 250, neutrality, the bum looks okay, maybe even interesting. Live and let live, we might say. After all, he's not hurting anyone. At 3:10, willingness, we might decide to go down and see what we can do to cheer up that fellow on the corner. Maybe we'd be motivated to volunteer some time at the local shelter. At 3:50, acceptance, the man on the corner appears intriguing. He probably has an interesting story to tell. He's where he is for reasons we may never understand. At 400, reason, he's a symptom of the current economic and social malaise, or perhaps a good subject for in-depth psychological study. At the higher levels, the old man begins to look not only interesting, but friendly and then lovable. Perhaps we'd then be able to see that he is, in fact, one who had transcended social limits and gone free, a joyful old guy with the wisdom of age in his face and the serenity that comes from indifference to material things. At 600, peace, he's revealed as our own self in a temporary expression. When approached, the bum's response to these different levels of consciousness would vary with them. With some, he'd feel secure, with others, frightened or dejected. Some would make him angry, others would delight him. Some he'd avoid, others he'd greet with pleasure. And so it's said that we meet what we mirror. End quote. So your current point of view will tell you a lot about what emotional state you're in. So how do you shift from a lower to a higher energy state? And think about what it's like to go through your day in a lower energy state. Think about how that impacts your perspective, how it impacts how you perceive others and how others perceive you. First, identify clearly what emotion you're feeling. So this is the first step in shifting your emotional state. Identify clearly what emotional state you're feeling. Recently, I was losing sleep over a situation I was in. I could not shake it, and I felt paralyzed to do anything about it. And while I was in such a low energy state, I really couldn't make any clear decisions about how to change it or have the difficult conversation I needed to have in order to change the situation. I felt sick whenever I thought about it, and it was really affecting my happiness and my effectiveness. So after about a week, I realized that I needed to take my own medicine, and I looked at the energy chart, and instead of just thinking over and over about the shitty situation I was in, I took a deep breath, and I asked myself what I was feeling. I identified that it was a combination of anger and fear. The next step in moving up the chart is to locate where in your body the emotion is living. For me, it was in my solar plexus, like just right above my stomach and my gut. The next question to ask yourself is, what's the sensation of the emotion? What's the sensation of the emotion? So my anger and fear was cold, and it was kind of rolling around in my solar plexus. It was heavy, and it was dark colored. It was about the size of a small volleyball. Once you name it, locate it, and identify the sensation of it, oddly, it starts to move. And if you can take a few minutes to just breathe into it, get your body moving around, and accept the emotion instead of trying to talk yourself out of it or stuff it, it starts to shift and move. The word emotion means to move. The things that keep it from moving are the stories we tell ourselves over and over about it and our resistance to actually feeling it. You cannot think your way out of an emotion. You cannot think your way out of emotion. You actually need to feel your way through it. Literally within half an hour of doing this, I was able to make a clear decision about what to do and send the email I needed to send in order to get the ball rolling. I felt like a huge weight had been lifted. I'd gotten to the other side of a situation that could have dragged me down for weeks and literally made me sick. When you're emotionally resilient and fluid, you can trust your own emotional state. As in my case, this doesn't mean you don't experience those negative emotions. It just means that they don't become your set point. If you remember the responsibility quote, this is the grace you give yourself. So what this comes down to is that we're never really afraid of things or situations. We're actually just afraid of how we'll feel when particular things occur. So what if you decide not to let your emotions stop you? When you have emotional resilience, you can handle the crap and conflict happening around you. You're willing to step into conflict, expose yourself to challenging people and situations. You no longer avoid certain situations because you're afraid of how they'll make you feel. Instead, you trust your own set point and your ability to be emotionally resilient. How liberating is that? You can remain unshaken by the world out there and simply keep creating, being responsible, and being open. Take a look at your strategic plan. What emotions get in your way? What would be possible if you trusted your ability to move up to a higher energy state when you feel sad or mad or guilty or scared? What places would you go and things would you do if you totally trusted your emotional set point? Your perspective is a clue to your emotional state. Think about how freeing it'll be to be able to process emotion as efficiently as your horse does. This is what we want, to be able to feel an emotion, let it move through our bodies, and be gone. It's only the stories we tell ourselves and the fact that we think we should not be feeling our emotions that keep us from that kind of emotional suppleness. Notice your tendency to put things off and avoid certain situations in order to not have to feel a particular way. What if you started to really let yourself feel your emotions and learn that you can handle them? They wouldn't be so scary. Being a horsepreneur requires grit and guts and the ability to bounce back and act even in the face of difficult emotions. Think about all this. You've got it.